everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a furry friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful giant golden-crowned flying fox. This podcast episode is, of course, very, very special, not only because it is possibly the longest name of an animal that we've had on the show thus far, but also because it is dedicated to Daylin, who wrote in via Instagram. Thank you, Daylin, for a wonderful suggestion. This episode would not have been possible without you writing in, and this podcast would not be possible without each and every one of you out there listening and writing in all the time with such wonderful messages and little reviews of the show. If you want to suggest an animal, you can do so in a couple of different ways. Well, it is more like three different ways. The first way you can write into the show is by sending a message to @relaxwithanimalfacts on Instagram, or you can also send an email the good old-fashioned way to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. The third way, which has yet to be used, is sending in your suggestion via carrier pigeon. Someone just recently sent a message all the way from Italy to say, hey, I'm gonna send a carrier pigeon, to which I made sure to reply that along with the message, you better pack food because that is a long flight. But I look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. If you have not reached out before and you would like to reach out, please, I am never too busy to get messages from you guys and to reply. This podcast is all about you guys. There is never a message that I receive to which I roll my eyes and think, oh, I am too busy for this person or anything of the sort. And this leads me to a special announcement, particularly to do with more of the podcast. I have had many of you saying, we want some more of the podcast. For each new episode that comes out from now on, which includes this episode, of course, there will be continuations or an even deeper dive of the animal, each episode available on the Patreon page. I wanted to make each of these continuation episodes available to as many of you as possible. I know how difficult these times are and how much you guys love the show. And so while there are different tiers on that Patreon page, the lowest one being $1 a month, every tier will have the exact same access to exclusive episode continuations. So it is all a matter of how much you wish to support the show with. I would like to stress the fact that each episode will be exactly as it has been on the regular podcast for the past 90-something odd episodes in terms of the length and the content, but the show on Patreon is going to go past the normal length of time that we usually do, along with some extra facts and things like that. So if you love the show and want more of it, that's where you can go to get more and support the show in the process. And that Patreon page is patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. You can also go to the show notes in the description to find out more about that. So let me move on to the review portion of the show, where I read a review from one of you awesome listeners out there. And this review is coming all the way from the United States of America, and it is written by either Artercade or Art 3 Arcade. I don't know which one is which, whether that 3 is an E or not, so sorry, Art, if I butchered your name. But Art writes, after a while, I finally decided to try this podcast and fell in love on the first episode. It helps me fall asleep every night, and I pick it over my favorite podcasts all the time. Steph Wolf, you are so relaxing, and I like chamomile tea too. Suggestion, please do the animal Potoroo for an episode. They are awesome. Thanks. Thank you, Art, for such a wonderful review. I am very grateful that you enjoy the show so much that you pick it over your favorite podcasts. And the fact that you like chamomile tea as well brings me a lot of joy. And the reason I say that is the majority of people that I know in real life do not like chamomile tea at all, and are never shy to share with me that the equivalent of drinking chamomile tea is like biting the bottom of a shoe. And so whenever someone else says they like chamomile tea, I have to give them a high five. And your suggestion for the Potoroo is a great one, and I'll be sure to give you a big shout out on your very own episode. If you want to leave a review like Art did, you absolutely can. Just know that your listenership already means the world, and leaving a review is something that is superfluous or extra that you can do if you really want to help the show grow. And let me just say where I got my facts from for today before we get into the show. I got my facts from facts.net, batworlds.com, and kidadl.com. All of these resources will be in the description of the episode, so you can go and visit those resources if you want to learn more about these guys, and I'm sure many other animals. And now I want all of you to notice perhaps where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the head? Is it in the shoulders, in the legs, in the arms? For everyone, it is going to be different. For me, it seems to be mostly in my hands and in my shoulders. And so I would like all of you to do your best right along with me as we relax those parts of our body and allow us to be like little pieces of jello as we go into this immersive experience with me, Steph Wolf, into the rainforests where the giant golden-crowned flying fox resides. I bet that the majority of you don't hear that every day. The first fact of the episode is going to be attributed to what they are. The giant golden-crowned flying fox is not actually a fox, but it is a bat. Their name suggests that they are big, and they indeed are big in comparison to other bats. But the article here says that they are not human-sized, contrary to popular belief. Instead, they have short, streamlined bodies that reach up to 7 to 11 and a half inches, which is about 17.8 to 29 centimeters long. But that being said, they do tend to reach human-sized proportions in terms of their wingspan. The golden-crowned flying fox has a large wingspan that can reach 5.5 feet, that's about 1.7 meters. And this gigantic wingspan led experts to believe that the giant golden-crowned flying fox is the largest bat in the world. And as with all bats, they have those wings that are quite membranous, meaning they lack a lot of fur. So when we said at the top of the show, our furry friends, they are furry, just not on their wings. Now, this is a sort of animal that, while it may be cute in the face, it can be quite distressing if I was to see this bat hanging upside down from somewhere when I was walking outside at night. I would likely continue running all the way from Canada, past my home, into the United States, and probably down somewhere into South America. That being said, when it comes to weight, these bats are not the heaviest bats in the world. The great flying fox and the Indian flying fox both outweigh the giant golden-crowned flying fox. Giant golden-crowned flying foxes weigh up to 2.6 pounds, which is about 1.2 kilograms, while the great flying foxes and Indian flying foxes weigh up to 3.2 pounds, that's close to 1.5 kilos, and about 3.5 pounds, which is about 1.6 kilograms, respectively. And so there is a decent size difference between the golden-crowned flying fox, which is the animal that we are covering today, and those other ones, which are the great flying fox and the Indian flying fox. While they are big in terms of bats, they are not the heaviest. And let me just say their scientific name before I get any angry emails as to why I didn't embarrass myself on the show. Their scientific name is the Acerodon jubitus. It seems as though researchers or whoever names these animals is going a bit easy on me these past few weeks. These bats are dimorphic, which means that the males are slightly larger than the females in terms of cranial and external measurements. Dimorphic means that there will be significant difference between males and females of the same species. This is quite a common thing in the animal kingdom, and we have come across this many a time on the show so far with the 90-something odd episodes that we have done. And in terms of them being cute to you or ugly to you, that is all for you to decide. As I said before, they might be cute, possibly up close in a controlled environment, but if you were to be walking in the Philippines and see this bat, it would probably scare you if you were not a zoologist. And that leads us into the habitat of the giant golden-crowned flying fox. The only home of this particular bat is in the Philippines, and the specific locations include the Matam and Mindanao. I hope I am saying that okay. And they will live in deep caves as well as in the rainforests. They typically follow the routes of the river, and experts believe it is because they can easily find food sources along those areas. If you want to see them in the wild, you will have to book a flight to the Philippines, unless, of course, you are already from the Philippines. They have some habits that some would find relatable as well. In a scientific study of these giant bats' daytime habits, researchers found that the golden-crowned flying fox spends more than 76% of its day sleeping, and they will often sleep on cliff edges, steep slopes, or hardwood trees. And this will mean that they have a feeding pattern and a life pattern that is mostly, or almost exclusively, nocturnal. sometimes when trying to remember what does nocturnal mean, what does diurnal mean, it can help to look at some of those root words. For example, nocturnal, it comes from a Latin word nox or noct, which means night, and over just a few steps became nocturnal. The females are going to spend more time resting than the males, and the males will spend more time engaging in behaviors that would increase their opportunities to mate. And so not only can they be of different sizes and things like that, they also will have some difference in their day-to-day, or if we can say, night-to-night behaviors. Now, because this animal is relatively rare, there is currently little knowledge regarding their reproductive behaviors. They often reproduce around the same time in their regions, suggesting that they breed seasonally and use photoperiods to signal when it is time to breed. Typically, these bats often give birth from April to May, with some colonies giving birth between May and June. Here we have an example of an animal that might have some pretty interesting habits or patterns that are not known to researchers just yet because of the population size as well as where they can be found. Animals that are generally found in only a few select locations are going to take some serious dedication, as it might be quite challenging to be in close contact with them for a long period of time. For us as human beings, the way that we keep cool, we might try to find a breeze somewhere, or if we're wearing a sweater, we might take the sweater off. Some of us that have little dogs, we might see that they pant and they have their tongue out to cool themselves. But in the case of this particular bat, they will fan their babies using their wings to keep them cool. At birth, the helpless pups will cling to the fur of their mothers using their claws, and the mothers are solely responsible for the nourishment and care of these pups, even fanning them with one wing to keep them cool. From this fact, we not only learned a pretty cool maternal pattern to the giant golden-crowned flying fox, but also we learned that the baby bats of this particular species are known as pups. That did not seem to me to be quite intuitive, but that is what they are called. Like most bats, they will play an important role in the ecosystem. Not only are most bats going to play an important role in the ecosystem, but virtually any animal that we think of will play some kind of a role in the ecosystem. Some animals may be able to affect their ecosystem more than others. We know, for example, beavers can single-handedly change an ecosystem through their little architectural adventures. They can change water patterns and where water goes and different things like that. But while the bat can't do that necessarily, they do still play an important role in ecology. Two things that they do best in their ecosystem is keeping populations of pests under control, as well as pollinating flowering plants. As such, scientists refer to bats in general as keystone species, meaning that they are incredibly important. Without them, the local ecosystem would likely suffer a severe negative impact. This is something that we see time and time again, where we have these local ecosystems that strike such an incredible balance in terms of all of the little critters that are inside and the plants and everything is on this delicate sort of scale that if it is tipped one way in a significantly harsh way, it could have big impacts to the rest of the ecosystem. The golden-crowned flying fox is no exception to that rule. That is because they disperse the seeds of the fruits they eat, and as they travel those long distances, they will spread the seeds through their droppings, and their existence consequently ensures that the forests they inhabit have a healthy population of fig trees and other plant species. So just by it going through its day-to-day routine, it really helps to become a kind of secondary architect of the forest, as they are planting fig trees, possibly without thinking about it. And now for the last fact of the episode, which is the name Giant Golden-Crowned Flying Fox. Where does this name come from, and why are they called this? As we covered before, they are not foxes, so why are they called the flying fox? The term flying fox generally will refer to these large bats of the family Pteropodidae. I am glad that the scientific names that are challenging sort of snuck up on me close to the end of the episode. And these bats adopted the name because their heads resemble those of foxes. They have that kind of fuzziness and coloration of foxes, so I can definitely see where that name came from. If you haven't seen this animal before, when you have a spare second, I greatly encourage you to Google image search them and see what does this beautiful animal look like. So thank you again, Daylin, for your wonderful animal suggestion. This podcast episode would not have been possible without it. If you want to learn about a particular animal, I do hope that you reach out to the Instagram Relax with Animal Facts, or that you reach out to the email relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com and let me know what animal you would like covered on the show. This was an amazing episode, and I learned a lot, and I hope that you did too. And I hope that you will join me on our next animal adventure on the next podcast episode. Take care.